change the culture, the mindset, the expectation level, and improve the brand of Indiana Hoosier football.
Brad, yes, this is an Indiana Hoosiers podcast, but we got to talk about some news that has absolutely shocked the sports world, Brad. The Raiders have hired Chip Kelly to be their offensive coordinator. Another massive hole opens up on Ohio State's coaching staff. What are your thoughts?
It's a great hire from Pete Carroll, who's now the head coach over there, has a relationship with Chip Kelly. That's not where I thought you were going with that. But that's
no,
a very,
it's not. A very Luka, good hire. It's not. Luka Doncic
that was
a Laker
response by me. I was on the fly.
Luka Doncic is a Laker, Brad. You're Brad from LA.
Mm.
What are your thoughts? Give me a play by play. How did you find out? What were your initial thoughts? Did you believe it? And then kind of as it's unfolded over the last, I don't know, 12 to however many hours it's been. What's kind of the mood in Lakerland?
Well, if you've ever talked to me, like at least 3-4 beers deep, you've probably I've heard the master plan I've had for the Lakers for the longest time, which is trading LeBron and trading AD for assets, which basically results in the Lakers somehow getting Wembanyama, Luka Doncic, and Ant Edwards. It's honestly more realistic to just go for Luka and Ant Edwards. It's probably where I would go. But I've been saying Luka's going to be a Laker for about 5 years now. And it just finally happened. The Mavericks refused to pay him a supermax due to his bad habits. Now he's going to go to the Lakers and change his ways and take his game to the next level and become a dynasty for the next, 10 years, as long as he's there.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. It still doesn't make sense to me. I thought Ryan Russillo, for as much fun as we had as his expense when he talks NBA, I respect his opinion because the guy pays attention to the sport. He was just like, I don't care if the guy is smoking cigarettes, walking the ball up the court. Like, you pay him the supermax. And it, like, it's for that reason, this trade makes no sense. So I have a couple conspiracy theories, Brad, I'd like to throw at you. Let me see what you think.
Well, can I preface it with something in the fact that all throughout the since Wilt Chamberlain got traded to the Lakers, the Lakers had been a destination into where they somehow ascertained the best of the best when it comes to the stars of the league during that time, whether it be, Wilt going to Kareem, going to Magic to then team up with Kareem, and then they ended up getting Shaq and Kobe, then they still had Kobe, they went and got Pau Gasol, then they got LeBron, and it just keeps on going. Basically, they've gotten every legend except for Michael Jordan to play for them, and it's just a theme that keeps happening. And there's obviously names I've mentioned: Steve Nash, Gary Payton, Karl Malone, all Lakers, Dennis Rodman,
Dwight Howard.
Yeah, it's just a place where stars go at points in their career, and Luka was just next on that list, being probably my personal favorite players. Him and Ant Edwards are two of my favorites. This is why I want the Lakers obviously to go after them, but they're the two best. They're guards, and they're the future of the league. Luke is a walking bucket, triple-double machine, and Edwards is one of the best two-way players, is probably the best two-way player in the game today.
I'm completely going to ignore this. I'm just assuming
at this point, since everything I've predicted has been right, that and Edwards is just going to be a Laker at some point, and I'm just going to put it on record now, so when it happens, I wasn't able to put the Luka thing on record, which is unfortunate. People only heard me a few Corona Lights deep at the bar talking about it. Never really put pen to paper there.
Rank these conspiracy theories for me, Brad. Here's my favorite one. This is my favorite one that is honestly losing steam quickly the more time passes. But this was the best possible setup announcement or promotion for Anthony Davis's new prank show.
That's what it is.
Yeah, they got everybody involved. They got opposing GMs. They got opposing players. They got the commissioner. The whole trade's a farce. It's a giant prank. Got everybody. We wake up in the morning, and Davis is still a Laker. Obviously, not the case. Like, I literally just logged on Twitter and saw Luka's like thank you to Dallas or whatever. But I thought that was a great one.
Why does Anthony Edwards get a prank show? Why wouldn't it be like Kyrie or Clay? Or Daniel Gafford gets
Anthony
his own.
Anthony Davis. 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 AD has the prank show. It's coming out.
Why him, though? Because he's the one that got traded? I mean, it's a prank on everyone.
Well, yeah, okay. It's his show, and he's pranking everybody.
What if it's Luka's new show? What if Luka's announcing he's going to Hollywood? And, oh, you're saying it's not even in this scenario, it's not even, like, true. It's not happening.
Yeah, it's a giant. The whole trade's a prank for the prank show.
No, because Luka's a Laker. No, okay.
Yeah,
I'll keep it in mind.
All right, here's another one. Dallas decides to do the trade because the orthopedic surgeons in the area have been struggling recently because everyone's so healthy in Dallas, so they need. They need a big client to come in. So they're like, you need to go get Anthony Davis. This is from Big Ortho.
And they already have Clay and Kyrie.
Yeah.
So this is just another...
What do you think about Big Ortho's involvement?
I rank it above the prank show idea. I say it's more likely.
But this is an Indiana football podcast. So as good of a time as it is in Los Angeles sports fandom world between the Dodgers and the Lakers and whatever else is going on over there. This is an Indiana football podcast, and we're starting off this week, Brad, with phenomenal news. We've started off the last two podcasts, I wouldn't say worried, but I definitely say talking about the possibility of another team swooping in and potentially enticing Brian Haynes to leave the Indiana Hoosiers. That is literally not the case. Indiana came out, opened the checkbook, re-extended Brian Haynes with the Ohio State job open. It had happened kind of just after Penn State had, overpaid to get Knowles out of there. They gave him like $4 million or something crazy like that. So Indiana looked at the landscape and was like, we're not letting this guy out of the building. There's no way. And re-extended Haynes. I wrote about it for KeySportsNetwork.com. You can check out my full thoughts on there. But in terms of what this means for the future of Indiana football, for the current of Indiana football, you can't come into Bloomington and poach these guys out anymore. Like, I know for a fact that there were like ADs around the country looking at Indiana's football season going, man, I can't wait to take their coaches. And I know for a fact, without confirming anything, that phone calls were made. Like, it would be moronic. It would be a fireable offense if phone calls weren't made to Haynes or Mike Shanahan. And the fact that Indiana was able to keep both those guys and continue to build the nucleus and keep the leadership in place, and what that does for the culture and what it does for recruiting and the message it sends to not only the fan base but to the rest of the country. Yeah, things have changed in Bloomington. Things have truly, truly changed in Bloomington. How did you feel when you saw that?
Pretty, like, as normal, because we've talked about it. We thought, you know, assuming just based on what we've seen, the action around the program, them, you know, repeatedly, you know, breaking out the checkbook and, you know, writing numbers down and cashing them in for, you know, big investments into the program. They've, you know, and Brian Haynes is the next step. There was definitely a phone call. There's this thing called leverage. He's like, oh, I got a phone call from Ohio State. Maybe you guys should pay me. And that's what they did. It happens all the time in coaching. A head coach, you know, is looking to go elsewhere, maybe go to the NFL. They'll use it as a grounds to negotiate a new contract for more money. It happens all the time.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, having Haynes back, you know, the defense was top 10 in every category last year. It's just going to continue with all the guys we have coming back.
Yeah, it's the fact that, like, people just circled like vultures. And in years past, like, we saw it happen with Kalen DeBoer. We saw it happen with Kane Womack. Guys just weren't they just didn't stay at Indiana. It was always a stepping stone, and that's just not the case anymore. Everything that's come out of Bloomington, everything they've said, everything they've done, it's just continues to prove that it's not just words, it's the actions that are backing it up. And that's really exciting as somebody who, or as people who have been following the football team as closely as we have, and for the greater fan base who's recognized that something special is happening here. Like, that gets, like, all of that gets hamstrung if you have one of the main proponents of that and Brian Haynes walking out the door, especially walking out the door for more money. And Indiana's athletic department hasn't, it's not just this obviously single instance, but this would be the culmination of, like, we're serious about what we're doing here. But they operated at I think it was like $176+ million deficit this year. Like, those, they were spending. That's all you can ask for. All the top athletic departments did. I'm not worried about that, right? And private equity is probably coming to college, or not probably, it's coming to college sports, and people are like, oh, it's going to ruin this. It's money. People are going to put money in to get money out. That's how the world works. So the fact that Indiana is saying it's going to operate like a tier one elite college football program, and then is also doing the things that elite college football programs do. Yeah, you said business as usual, as in like the last 12 months, but like, this, again, to keep in perspective, is just not what we're used to. And it's like, this is the new normal.
Yeah, it's a good call, considering, you know, DeBoer and Womack specifically, those guys leaving. That's basically what derailed the Tom Allen tenure at Indiana. The ability to not only, you know, find a replacement head coach, but, or a replacement coach, but, you know, not even be able to retain those guys at the beginning was not necessarily his fault, but his ultimate downfall.
No, and I think it's also the piece that I think a lot of people don't give enough credit to is the philosophy shift of the university. Pam Whitten has a lot to do with that. She came from Georgia. Obviously, we know the football culture of Georgia, but we're talking literally one head coach ago that didn't have the means to keep his assistants around. Like, they just didn't have the money to keep these guys around. You would have superstar coaches coming in. McCullough is another one who's now the RB coach at Notre Dame now. And Mike Hart, who's the running backs coach at Michigan. And what is it, Hurd, who's the wide receivers coach at Michigan now. Like, all these guys are on Indiana's coaching staff, and they were good coaches, and they had great relationships with Tom Allen. But it's just the reality of college football, and the reality of Indiana at that time was they couldn't afford to keep them in those positions. Same position, more money, you take that every time. Now it's just like, Cignetti has the means to keep his guys around. You can't just, like, you're not just making a lateral move. And yeah, I'm going to call Penn State a lateral move. I'm going to call Notre Dame a lateral move, because you're not gaining, if you're Brian Haynes, we'll talk about Haynes specifically, you're not gaining any more responsibility from leaving. He runs the entire defense. He is the CEO of the defense. Cignetti is an offensive-minded head coach. Cignetti played quarterback. He lets Sanahan run the offense. But I'm just saying, like, that's where his head's at. And I'm not saying Sig doesn't know or talk defense, but like, Haynes, he's running the show. It is his show. And he has the NIL backing. And he has three All-Americans coming back. It's like, this, Indiana is one of the best defensive opportunities in the country right now. And like you said, to open this discussion, like, they were top 10 in pretty much every defensive category. So to go to another job, which would be the same exact position, to essentially rebuild your defense that you have the pieces that you need to run it, like, how much more money could a school offer you to make that an enticing opportunity? That's not even to mention the relationship he has with Kurt Cignetti and the rest of the coaching staff. But Sig, Sanahan, and Haynes specifically have been together for like 10 years. So it's like, you can't recreate that bond by going somewhere else. So 2-3 years ago, is Indiana giving $2 million, $2 plus million, because the figure hasn't come out yet, to a coordinator? Absolutely not. I don't think they were paying that to Tom Allen. Whatever, you might make about like four. So it's just, you can't say enough good things about what the philosophy shift has been and the execution of it. And like, this is like, Indiana football isn't going anywhere.
100%. Yeah. Brian Haynes, I mean, this defense is going to be way better than it was this past, which is crazy to say. with him coming back, the year two jump that we'll be seeing with this group, and with all the depth, basically now being what we'd call, Cignetti guys, guys that, went through the whole first year with Cignetti, and they kind of got the, pick and choose who's staying, who's, who are they going to bring in to replace the guys that they're, pushing out. And yeah, things are going to take a jump next year with all the continuity coming back on top of everything that we're bringing in to replace what we've lost. Things are going to take another jump. Now, at this point, in terms of where we're at, like that jump from where we were to next year to this past year is not going to be like the same time. It's not like we're going to go from, if you were to, kind of assume it's the same type of jump, we'd go to national champions next year. Now, I do think we're at that territory where now we can kind of start talking about Indiana as a national contender. Are we the favorites? No, but it's in that territory, and considering everything that's happened and keeping Brian Haynes, it's kept that hype being able to start, evolving as we, head into the off season.
Yeah, I think that's important to note too, because like you said, they're not a national title favorite, but if you look at the guys that they brought in to replace what they've lost, like they're on that short list of teams where you start going, okay, here's your three or four that can probably like really push for a national title, and who are those other like five or six teams that are going to be in that back half of the playoff? Like Indiana's roster alone is going to put it in that conversation. One of the guys they're going to have to replace, and a position that they already replaced, Mike Kadick, star center for the Indiana Hoosiers, is now with Barstool Sports, Brad. That came completely out of left field. Mike Kadick is our SoCal Hot Sauce Hoosier of the Week. Congratulations to Mike Kadick going to Barstool. And yeah, that's going to be electric. I don't know if you were able to catch any of the content they started releasing this week, but his initial meeting with Gruden, where they didn't even shake hands, he just went down to the center position and snapped an imaginary football to Gruden. Like that was
It's
the only thing I
all
needed to
the
see
Gruden stuff
is
is
a match made in
what I've
heaven.
seen so far from Mike. He obviously Gruden really wanted a center, so he went and got one, Mike Kadick, who we thought maybe could give it a shot at the NFL. I was always kind of a skeptic of it, but I saw with the tap dancing background maybe he had something there. Clearly, it's not where his heart's at. He's starting a new career post college, and it'll be good having good representation on that platform now.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I think that's massive. Having somebody with the personality of Mike Kadick, who we've grown to know and love over the last 5, 6 years, and you've seen little glimpses of like how funny he can be and how personable he can be in interviews and in the locker room. And I can't think of a more perfect matchup. And something that I've personally talked about is that there really was no Barstool football guy at Indiana. Like, yeah, I'm a fan of White Boy Rick. I love what he does, but I definitely wouldn't call him like an Indiana football personality. Like Mike Kadick is Indiana football. Mike Kadick is a Hoosier through and through. That guy represents the best of what this university is. And to have him as our representation on a national level, like, yeah, if you could pick one guy to represent your university, like I'm picking Mike Kadick for the Indiana Hoosiers. So I perfect spot, perfect opportunity. Super excited to see where this goes. And incredibly pumped to see how this impacts Indiana football, because it's going to in a positive way. Like Mike Kadick is a flag bearer for this program. He went through the best of it. He went through the worst of it. He stuck it through. Like the fact that that guy is now the face of Indiana Hoosier football, it's like it's perfect. It's literally perfect. Like yeah, I would have loved to see that guy play in the NFL. We're fringe, like maybe a sixth round pick. Probably going to end up on a roster, probably could have hung around, but no, that's not what he wanted to do, and he made the decision to shift careers, and he picked a good one. He ended up in the right place. I'm pumped to see where this goes.
100%. And Indiana already made the move to replace Mike Kadich, which we already knew he wasn't going to be on the roster next year. But they already made the move to replace his role. They got a center out of the portal by the name of Pat Coogan, number 78, from Notre Dame. He was their starter throughout their entire run to the national title game as the runner-up. He's not the projected starter at Notre Dame next year, so he hit the portal after graduating, and you know he's found a new home, you know, just down south
in Bloomington. If you need a reminder of who Pat Coogan is, Pat Fuck Coogan was the guy, leading the "we're playing fuck you" football talks in front of the Notre Dame team for all those videos, going "let's play, we're playing fuck you football" and all that stuff. Like, this dude's fiery. He's a leader. His guys love him. And they needed to make a move to replace Kadick. That was center was the one spot. They really didn't have anybody waiting in the wings. They were going to have to move some people around. And Coogan was the number one rated player in the portal. Like, this is like, it wasn't just some like, oh, this dude ended up randomly starting at Notre Dame and now like, thanks for everything, but we don't need you. But that's kind of what Notre Dame told him. But it's not like he's some scrub. Like, this, he was the number one rated guy in the
portal. It's a clear upgrade at the position for us. Clear.
He was the starting center on a national championship contending team on a really, really good offensive line that was young and needed to rely on a lot of communication. Like, this is a huge, huge, huge deal. And it wasn't even the last move, like, commitment of the weekend for Bosted, who went and got the first commitment of 2026. He got Sam Simpson, who's a just a prototypical guy who used to always go to Wisconsin, just three-star offensive lineman out of Wisconsin, first team All-State, and just like looks like a Bob Bosted guy. But back to Coogan for a second, is like, you watch that guy in front of that team and you're like, man, I'd love to root for that kid. And then you watch him play on the field, and from a Hoosier perspective, you're like, that's like exactly what we need. And on top of that, Coogan had visits set. He had Indiana on Friday. He had Michigan on Saturday. They didn't even let him leave Bloomington. He didn't get to Ann Arbor. He didn't leave. And to be honest, I wasn't even worried about Michigan. Like, you want to talk about Shamar Moore versus – or Sharon, sorry. I saw the commercial the other day with Shamar in it. But Sharon Moore versus Kurt Cignetti in a recruiting battle, like, people – I think a lot of times forget where Sig came from, but he was at the highest level of the game as a recruiting coordinator. Like, this is where he thrives. And so now he has stuff on wax to show people, like, here's how we play, and here's how we see you fitting in here and making it better, and we specifically believe you're the guy. Like, if you have Indiana coaches coming to you and telling you that, like, how do you say no to that right now? They're like, these dudes are on fire.
Yeah, I was... Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Bosted. You went on a long tangent there. But
yeah, I there's a lot to
back to Coogan. It's funny watching his videos, because when I was watching him, it was like, man, Indiana, it would be great if Indiana had a fiery guy like that. Like, I'm not saying they didn't have any fiery guys last year, but I didn't see any of it, to be honest. So you can never have, you know, too much edge and too much leadership. So adding a guy like that, who's clearly going to be probably a team captain next year for this team, is going to be fantastic. And can't wait for him to kind of take the lead of that O-line room that's very deep and very talented and a lot of freshmen. And he's going to have a big impact on their development very early in their careers. And it's really just going to lay another, you know, a foundation of Indiana football that will, you know, obviously will continue the dynasty that's being formed here in terms of the eyes of Cignetti, that we are a rising superpower in college football.
Yeah, 100%. And then
to your point, Bob Bosted, you know, continues to do that, bringing in a guy post junior day.
Yep. And there was the other Notre Dame offensive lineman who visited earlier in the week, Spindler. The guard ended up going into Nebraska. But it's like, if you look at Coogan and Spindler, the guy who Indiana needed way more is Coogan. People don't know who these guys are yet, but they're loaded at guard. Like, loaded at guard. And they had a lot of young guys last year that, like, weren't ready to step up. But like you said, with another offseason of development, another offseason of learning the program and practicing, getting better and bigger and all that stuff, like, a lot of these guys are going to be ready to push for playing time. I'm not saying that all these guys can be ready to play and they're going to have 10 guys. Not what I'm saying, but like, there are some guys in that room right now that nobody knows that are going to push for playing time.
Yeah, a quick overview of the room at this point. I think it's appropriate time. So the starting lineup, because this is probably after this Coogan commitment, this is probably what the roster is going to be going into spring now. Coogan's probably going to be the last add. Now we're going to go into spring. I'd be very surprised if we brought in. I'd be happy, obviously, but I'd be very surprised if another guy came in between now and spring from the portal. With that being said, left tackle, bringing back Carter Smith, returning starter. Left guard is either going to be Benson or Bray Lynch, deciding on what they do there. Bray Lynch played right guard last year, so they might move him to left guard, might keep him at right guard, move Benson to left guard. Not sure what's going to happen, but Benson and Lynch are going to be the guards, Coogan at center, and then Zen Mikalski at right tackle. Behind them are eight freshmen and Austin Barrett, who's a redshirt sophomore. Those are the young guys you're alluding to that are going to challenge for playing time. And that's kind of how you want your O-line room to look, is young guys that are ready to play behind a group of veterans that have played a lot of high-level Big Ten football, Big Ten-level football. Zen Mikalski coming from Ohio State, Benson coming from Colorado, already started games at Indiana before that, and then Coogan, obviously. You know, we got two linemen from the Nat that played in the, that were on teams that were in the national title game last year. So,
yeah. And before people go, well, where, what about Drew Evans? Like,
he's hurt. I'm assuming he's out
and he, for the year. No, he is. I saw confirmation that it was a torn Achilles and that he's going to miss the whole year. So, that's what you assumed when you saw and didn't see more of that report and then haven't seen much about it. So we're wishing a speedy recovery, obviously, and losing a player of that caliber, not just for the back half of this season, but for the entirety of next season too. You see why Indiana was so proactive in going and getting offensive linemen. But then you have to think that the impact of having that guy coming in fully healthy in 2026 is huge. So, silver lining and everything. But yeah, that's the offensive line looks nice. And is, I'm also with you in that they had Colorado had Benson playing tackle a lot last year, and I just don't think that's the position for him. I think guards, he's much better fit.
Yeah, and to kind of counter your point toward the looming dynasty that's impending and how this O-line kind of looks, if we were to look at 2026, three returning starters coming back, Smith, Evans, and Lynch will all be able to come back. Coogan and Benson and Mikalski will be going. But then we'll have Drew Evans coming back, so that's still three returning starters coming back in 2026. So, great construction.
On top of all the what, eight or nine young guys that you mentioned, and Simpson, who's going to come in the class of 2026. And so.
Yeah, we'll see who's going to be able to kind of sneak in to get maybe getting some rotational snaps, maybe even, or coming in, hopefully not through injury. We'll see who ends up stepping up into those roles because it's pretty unclear. You know, we saw some live free to Johnny. I imagine Austin Barrett's making progress considering he's not in the portal. Those are probably the main guys to highlight right now, and we'll get more into it when we do kind of our position previews heading into spring and kind of what we're expecting from guys heading into that and what that means. And
yeah, that'll be
where they are in their careers and, you know, why do they need to be in certain spots in order to keep up with the program? Because Indiana, it's no more like, hey, you have a scholarship here. You know, you got to kind of keep up with the program and be worth a scholarship at this point with Indiana. And that's very, very different than, you know, where Indiana was heading into the last offseason, let alone ever. So it's very... It's pretty impressive what they were able to do in just one season. It's insane a little bit what they've been able to do.
Yeah, it's unprecedented, which is why Cignetti won all those Coaches of the Years, and which is why it's like I don't feel like we're just walking out on a plank, like hanging ourselves out to dry, like look at this team, pay attention to this team, and they're gonna let us down. Like it's like no, we're telling you to look at something because it deserves to be looked at. And I'm thinking that we probably go over the, because spring ball is what, like a month away, I think, or just over a month away, something like that. So maybe like 1 to 2 weeks, we'll jump into that too deep or jump into what the depth chart looks like. But there are a lot of guys in that 2024 class and 2025 class on the offensive line that are really, really talented. It's exciting. Speaking of guys that have left, though, this is, and I think he's the only starter to hit the portal, and it does explain why Indiana was adding so many cornerbacks. But Jahmyr Johnson announced he was hitting the portal. It is something that you and I had speculated about. He wasn't really being talked about. They went and added Gandy, and we were like, okay, cool. I guess they just want somebody to compete with him. Then they went and added Boykin, and I was like, okay, well, is he going to play safety or corner? The room's kind of crowded now, but he can never have too much talent. It's like, oh, okay. Like, this is why they're adding so much talent. So as a fellow Pasadenian?
Yeah, I think Pasadenian.
Pasadenian? As a fellow Pasadenian, how do you feel about Jahmyr Johnson hitting the portal, and then kind of what the cornerback room looks like post-announcement?
Yeah, it's disappointing because it leaves the West Coast representation on this Indiana roster very very barren. I don't think there's a single West Coast guy on this team. I'm talking, you know, your Arizona's, your Utah's, Colorado's, Washington's, Oregon's, California's. Don't have a whole lot of that. I'd love to hit that recruiting ground one day. There's so much talent coming out.
I think the coach that's got the farthest west affiliations for Indiana right now is Coach Buddha Williams, and he coached at Colorado State.
It's okay. It's fine. Yeah, Jahmyr Johnson, I don't know what year he was going to be, but they brought in Knighton, who has 2 years of eligibility left. They brought in Gandy, who has 3 years of eligibility left. So there is a, you know, they brought those guys in pretty quickly. I don't know how long Jahmyr Johnson was considering leaving. I think he still had 2 years of eligibility himself, possibly one. But we're bringing in some guys that are going to be on the program for a while. So it was between like him and Sharp. I think he's older than Sharp by a year. So they just kept Sharp, and who has probably obviously didn't play last year, but going into when Cignetti got there, the same amount of experience that Jahmyr Johnson had as a player. So it's tough. It's a difficult situation, but, you know, it's, once again, I think it's something that we're upgrading. It'll be left to be seen on the field, but, you know, I'm trusting the coaching staff on this one, as I should, because fuck am I going to do? Not trust Sig at this point, so.
Yeah, exactly. They've given us nothing to not trust them about. And like we keep saying, like, the class of 2024, while it was a little smaller, a lot of talented guys in there, especially in the secondary. And the class of 2025, Byron Baldwin Jr. is literally the fourth highest rated recruit in program history. He's going to play safety, but like they're just bringing in guys left and right. Like Jalen Hollywood Bell is another guy, corner coming in. Like these are guys. Zachary Smith, corner coming in. Like, and they're going to add talent too. Like Junior Day was today, yesterday, and then this past weekend as well. And I think they had like 60 to 80 different guys come in, including a bunch of 4 stars and high level 3 stars. And it's just the thing that I appreciate the most about this staff is that these actions don't just happen and then die. Everything like leads and bleeds into the next thing. So it's like all the momentum that they built up throughout the season, they use to extend.
Yeah, it never dies.
And all the momentum then they use that to extend Haynes, and then they use that momentum to build up Junior Day, and then they're getting commits in their class of 26. And it's just the way they're chaining together these positive events to not just let these moments become like stagnation, but it's just constant growth. It's incredibly impressive, and another like really, really successful set of Junior Days. And like we said, last year was really instrumental. Baldwin Jr. was at Junior Day last year. Davion Chandler was at Junior Day last year. Hollywood Bell was at Junior Day. I think Baylor Wilkin was at Junior Day. And I know Matt Marek was there, and I think Evan Parker was there. And like, these are dudes in like that I'm just naming their 2025 class. Like, these are really important days, and the fact that they're just stacking positive momentum leading into and through these days is like this is where your future is built.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. Quick DB room starting lineup. I'll go Pons, Gandy Knighton at the other corner in a battle. Devon Boykin at the Rover, and then Farrell and Moore at safety right now. That's what I imagine they're going to spring with.
Well, listen, when you spend a year and a half telling us it's production over potential, I would assume that all the guys that have stuff on tape are going to be the ones taking rep ones when we get in the spring.
Yeah. Baldwin will not be running with the ones his first day. He's... Yeah, that's all I got. He'll be running with Bonds. Oh. He'll be with Bonds at the twos.
I was going to say, all of this, what is it, proceeded for... all this was, I guess, started by Cignetti coming out during the Maryland game with a microphone in hand, firing up the crowd with the entire football team, crowd going crazy. He takes the mic and thanks the entire fan base and says, "We're not satisfied."
Yeah.
And then they extend Haynes, get Coogan, get their first recruiter class of 26, and have four insanely successful junior days.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how this 2026 class looks like, because it's definitely going to start forming throughout the summer months, and obviously we'll be here to cover it and start talking about it. Should we talk about Sam Simpson a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead. I touched on him briefly. Remember when you were like, "Wow, you threw a lot at me there." I did touch on Sam Simpson.
No, because I like to let you keep going. So.
Yeah, what do you think about Sam Simpson, the first recruit in the class of 26 for Bob Bosa at Kurt Cignetti?
Well, he's a Wisconsin guy. I love that. He's the second highest recruit in Wisconsin right now. Period. Point blank. So he's a 3-star right now, but they're still like in the evaluation period where, you know, there's going to be risers coming into that 4-star, 5-star spot. There's not a whole lot of those numbers aren't declared as much. You know, they're not as evaluated. Most people are listed as 3-stars at this point. This is a guy that could possibly rise, just considering where he's already ranked within the state. It's just going to depend on how dominant he is, you know, going through all the camps and all his off-season activities, whatever he does. But he's going in as a already listed at 285, which you love to see. He's projected as a guard. River Falls, Wisconsin. He was All-State last year, so... good momentum for him and his career.
And for the Hoosiers. Like I said before, and like we've talked about constantly, it's like you look at what formed those great Wisconsin teams we saw growing up that dominated on the ground, and they would just go to local high schools and take the best guys. Like, it's a great strategy. I really enjoy that we're employing it now. Bob Bosa is the perfect guy to be going into these schools saying, "I was there. I saw all of this happen. I can recreate this for you. Here's the rap sheet. Here we go." And boom, boom. Let's go.
Yeah, we just got the second best O-lineman in Wisconsin. You look at Wisconsin's rankings in that class, the top 6 players are O-linemen. So that does tell you what kind of talent you get from that state. So to get one already this early over, you know, a Wisconsin is big time for us, because we know they're building there as well with a big time head coach. And to go into that state at this point is very impressive and could be a red flag for Wisconsin, but we don't need to go into that too much.
Yeah, and I don't remember exactly what his offer list looked like, but I know Iowa was on there and a couple other Big Ten schools as well. So it's not like this is like some complete unknown, like, gem snipe find. It might be when it's all said and done, it's like, no, there was legitimate programs on this kid too.
He holds 6 Power 4 offers: Illinois, Iowa, Iowa State, Kansas, Wisconsin. All the teams that recruit that area very religiously, so it checks out.
And why could you not want to come to Indiana when we're producing college football 25 stars of the seasons? Congratulations to D'Angelo Pons. He got a sick 96 overall card. Yes, it was at slot corner. No, he doesn't play slot corner. Did he play slot corner once this year? No. Is it still dope as hell that he's getting a card of that magnitude, getting the recognition on that level, and he's probably going to be one of the best, if not the best, corner in the game? Wearing... number 5 Indiana across his chest, like, you like, again, as somebody who played video games growing up, still plays them, like having that type of billboard and advertisement on top of the fact that, like, it's just recognition for the season that Pons had because he was incredible. What's up, Mookie? Little Mookie cameo on the podcast. But yeah, it's a shout out to Pons. And like, Indiana is, like, even when the guys were having good seasons, like Aaron Casey, I think, was first team all Big Ten. Like, there's no way he would have gotten this type of recognition.
Yeah, Aaron Casey. I don't even know if Aaron Casey's on the NFL roster. That's how
he is.
Okay.
I think he's a Bengal, but don't quote me on it.
Yeah. Anyways, that makes sense. You know, bad team. Only one NFL guy on it, barely. But, yeah, we're talking about what stars of the season. I like that he's a slot corner because he would be a mean slot corner. He'd be really good. So, because he's just that talented, he could play anywhere. But when you have a guy that talented, you're going to play him outside or guarding the best receiver, which is what's going to happen next year.
Speaking of IU players getting recognition, CJ West, Trey Wettig, they were both at the Shrine Bowl. I'm not sure what type of week Wettig had in terms of, like, what he did on the field, but I do know that CJ West had a massive week in terms of buzz. He was all over the place. Every time I opened Twitter, it was CJ West this, CJ West that, blowing up guys, blowing past people. He had a really impressive week, really improved his draft stock. And again, having two Indiana Hoosiers at the Shrine Bowl representing, and especially CJ West doing as well as he did, is such a great advertisement for the program and for what's happening in Indiana and for what you can do there. Like, if you're a defensive lineman and you look at CJ West, who went from Kent State to Indiana, and now he's going to be probably a day two or day three draft pick. And you look at Trey Wettig, who was the sixth or seventh offensive lineman on a Wisconsin team being phased out, transfers to Indiana and is now
at the Shrine drafted. Period.
Yeah, he's there playing left tackle out of position, no less. Like this is, like, these are the types of things you see from elite programs, is you start to see their players playing well on national stages. When they go and they stand with the rest of the guys, they stand out. And that's what you're looking for. That means you have impact players on your team. That means that you have guys worthy of recognition. That's just, like, that's a testament to those two guys. It's a testament to what they're building. Again, like, we've sent guys to the Shrine Bowl before, but it's just, this just feels different.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the buzz that Wes was getting. I was very also unsurprised by everything that was happening. He's definitely solidified himself as an NFL draft pick. It's just going to determine where he goes. I think Wettig had a hold when I watched the game. My boy Garbers was on his team, threw two picks. The offense was just not clicking when Wettig and Garbers were on the field. That West team was just brutal, though. Overall, they got shut out. It was bad.
It was weird that Indiana was on the West team, given where Indiana is located geographically. But yeah, the West team as a whole,
you'll get to learn that once you start watching the Shrine Bowl. It really doesn't matter about geography there. They're just organizing based on, they like to keep the guys that were on the same team on the same team. However, Kane Medrano and was on the West East team as a UCLA guy, and he was playing against Ethan Garber's West guy. So I don't know how they do the rosters. It really doesn't matter. CJ West, he's going to get drafted. Trey Wettig gave it his best shot. We'll see what he's able to do. Yeah, have they announced combine invites yet?
No, I'm hoping Jalen Walker gets a combine invite because he's gonna put some, like, really impressive times on tape.
Yeah, there's something to say about the guys that don't necessarily go to the Shrine Bowls and still get a combine invite. Like, those guys are probably being noticed early on. Because the Shrine Bowl, the 100%. Senior Bowl, like, those are kind of like, those are events to kind of put yourself on the map when you're not already there. Or, like, if there's a ton of question marks about your level of play, you go to the Shrine Bowl and ball out against some, you know, Power Four seniors and put your name on the map. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, 100%. But back to current Hoosiers, we like the Hoosier Twitter sphere freaked out finally because we got Fernando Mendoza content, multiple interviews. I don't love giving these guys press, but he did drop an interview with the Hoosier Hysterics. That is out. I caught about 10 minutes of it, him explaining kind of what he was looking at in schools, how like what his interactions with Cignetti were like, and how he ultimately ended up choosing IU. And he also has a Hoosiers Connect Players Perspective pod coming out. That's dropping on Tuesday. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. But just hearing Mendoza talk about his thought process, what he was looking for in schools, the culture at Indiana, and why he ended up coming here. It was just like, first of all, the kid's crazy intelligent, hyper-competitive, only cares about football and family and stuff. But I'm saying, like loves football, and just like, I could listen to that guy speak for hours. Like, he just, his perspective on things is really unique, and he's a really intelligent kid. And again, I'm really excited for this Hoosiers Connect pod to come out on Tuesday. And like he's a dude, man. Like, he is a dude.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned he's a smart kid, because before Cal, he actually got flipped from Yale before he went to Cal. He's an Ivy League type level intellect. We got 2 years of him, which is fantastic. Hopefully he doesn't win the Heisman and goes after just 1 year. But I'm honestly, like, if he wins the Heisman, as long as we get a Natty too, that would be I don't know how to balance that. Oh man, that would be tough. But yeah, maybe he comes back off a Heisman. Who knows? But yeah, Mendoza for Heisman 2024 is how I kind of want to finish that thought.
No, I do. Anytime Mendoza is going to put his time into anything, I highly recommend you check it out. So go check out the Hysterics pod. Definitely check out Hoosier Connects pod coming on Tuesday. Because, yeah, like, again, you listen to this guy speak and you just know, like, we're in good hands as a program. It wasn't all sunshine and roses for Mendoza last week, though. There was a little bit of a roster image controversy that was pointed out and clowned at. Whoever was responsible for putting the images up of players on the roster, I guess Fernando just hadn't taken his screenshot yet. So they photoshopped his face onto Grant Wilson's body, but not in a great way, and it didn't look good, and people noticed, and it was very funny. And they actually did go in and change it, but for a couple hours it was Fernando Mendoza's head on Grant Wilson's body.
It's still Fernando Mendoza's head on Grant Wilson's body. It's just a better Photoshop now. That's what they to mention at the end. They all think it's fine now, but actually they just pulled another fast one on you. It's still Photoshopped.
But that did come with a roster update. That's how we got the Jameer Johnson news. That's how we also found out Caleb Jones, I believe, is no longer with the program. It's also how we found out Tyler Cherry, while he's not on the roster officially, is a student coach this year, so he's not taking a roster spot, but he is going to be around the program. Cherry, I believe, tore his ACL in the week leading up to Notre Dame, so he's going to miss the whole 26 season or 25 season regardless. So like, pretty cool they're able to find a way to free up a scholarship spot and also keep him around the program, but also pretty unfortunate he won't be around. But that also meant we got numbers for new transfers. We got numbers for freshmen. We got number changes as well. I have a couple favorites off the top of my head. How did you want to approach? Do you want to just talk about all the number changes? Do you want to talk about which direction do you want to go here?
Well, first off, Cooper Jones left the program, not Caleb Jones. And then
Cooper Jones, shit.
And then number changes. So Pat Coogan, he's not on the roster yet. He's going to be number 78. That's what he wore at Notre Dame. The roster, the number is available. No one's wearing that number. Going into spring, that is. Holden stays wearing my personal favorite tight end number, worn by Mercedes Lewis at UCLA. He's wearing number 19. I think that's the best tight end number out there. Number one in my book. Speaking of number one, Roman Hemby going to be rocking the one, as well as Amari Farrell making the switch to number one. So those are our two number ones this year.
I gotta say, I didn't know.
Makes sense.
I didn't know Hemby was wearing one. I love one for Hemby. Amari Farrell in number one is my favorite. Like, It is my favorite number change. Like, that is
he's our best player.
The perfect arguably. Number for Mari Farrell. I love it.
Yeah, he deserves that because he deserves kind of the spotlight it puts on you when you're on the field and you're wearing number one. He needs more eyes on him. He's we have three All-Americans coming back, but it feels like we have four with him coming back as well. So he feels like an All-Conference. He's going to be a preseason All-Conference on every magazine out there going into next year. So, yeah, Ponte's wearing number one. Jose Wheeler wearing number zero. Love that on the D-lineman. Decent. And still in the D-line room in Duque, who's a big freshman that we were high on. He's going to be a true sophomore next year. He's probably going to be fighting for backup edge jobs behind Landino and Kamara. He changed his number to 17, which means he's likely on track to get some PT next year if he's going to get a number upgrade like that. You're going to move sub-20s? Yeah,
he...
At D-line, you're probably going to get some tech.
Yeah, he was 91 last season. He blocked a punt but didn't get a ton of playing time outside of special teams. But if you, like, I implore you to go back and watch Daniel Ndukwe's high school tape. Not even that. Literally go back and find the clip. We've posted it at least once, but of the Raw Room podcast does, like, you send in film as high schoolers and they pick, like, a winner every week. But go find his, like, 30-second clip he sent into that. Like, it is laughable how sick his high school highlights are. So when I saw him, like, change to, like you said, sub-20, 17, like, yeah, I'm thinking he's going to play a little bit this year.
Him and Turvey. him and Turvey. Turvey's still there. He's 18. What other notable numbers are there out there?
I like a lot of the numbers for the freshmen. Javion Chandler's wearing 4. LeBron Bond's wearing 6.
LeBron at 6 is I love that. Number 6, LeBron.
I want to say Sean Cuono's wearing 20. Byron Baldwin Jr. wearing number 2.
Yeah, that's raw. That's raw. Okay.
Miles Kendrick rocking 82.
I feel like as a slot guy, I want him to have a smaller number. Like, I want 82 to be like an outside
makes me,
guy.
No, that's what I'm saying. Makes me think he's not playing the slot.
No, he's playing the slot. He's playing the slot. He's too tiny. He's tiny.
And then I want to say Kyler Garcia is 94 or 99.
94.
One of those two. 94. But, I mean, I like a lot. Like, Hall is 50, right? And
Tyrone Burris Jr. got 99.
Yeah, I like that.
I can see him switching Cortez to, like, single digit, though, one day.
But, yeah, I think my two favorites are Farrell and Duque. Pump for those.
Yeah, exciting. Mendoza's wearing 15, by the way.
Yep. Yeah, that's vacated important. By Tyler Sherry.
Yeah, I think that's it. I got nothing for the numbers.
Yeah, that is it. Shout out to SoCal Hot Sauce.
Yeah, it's promo code SIGS Inside. Shout out Mike Kadick, who won the award this week for SoCal Hot Sauce Game of the Week, where you can buy your 4-pack and above for free shipping and get 10% off with the promo code SIGS Inside, 2 words, SIGS Inside. It's really good stuff.
I do have to say, I did say, I think 2 weeks ago, the original Red was back. I jumped the gun slightly. It's coming back. If it's not back in now, it'll be back.
It will be back. It will be back. But just keep getting hot on the title. It's great.
Yeah. But, we almost didn't even talk about this. Brad, you're writing for Key Sports Network now.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Yeah. Talking about how the Dodgers save baseball. Got to write about how the Lakers are saving basketball by bringing in Luka Doncic. Got to talk about why the Utah Hockey Club needs to be named the Mammoth. Or I have another name that's not on the table that I might propose.
Yeah, big things are happening. Big things. Baseball season's coming up. We'll be talking Red Sox baseball.
We're talking Super Bowl. Today. We're a week away from the Super Bowl. I don't know if we're going to preview before then, Do you want to talk a little Super Bowl preview, or are we just accepting that's the Chiefs and we're just going to move forward? And
I would say it's that, except for the fact that I think the last like 10 teams traveling west or traveling east or whatever the travel motif is, the Chiefs have to face it this year. So it'll be interesting to see. But I just hope Kenny Pickett wins.
It is cool to see someone you know win a Super Bowl, I will say. Having experienced it myself.
Do you have any Same. Super Bowl thoughts you want to get off your chest, Brad? Like, as a neutral observer and someone who hasn't had a reason to care about NFL football in a really long time, I'm excited to watch a good game. I'm not surprised we're watching these two teams play. They're the two best teams, but until somebody beats the Chiefs, it's hard to pick against them. Like, they have the best defense, they have the best quarterback, and they have the best coach. What more do you need?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to three-peat, and I'm kind of rooting for it, too, because I don't like the Eagles, and I also kind of want to see history happen. I think it'd be cool. I know it's not an Here's unpopular a big Taylor pick, guy. But I would like to see the Chiefs win. I think it'd be kind of cool.
They do also roster Peyton Hendershot.
They,
so yeah. If you're looking for a rooting
have,
interest from a Hoosier
two
perspective.
Hoosiers.
And Cam Jones
and Peyton Hendershot play for the Chiefs. So I'm leaning Chiefs to Hoosiers. See, spin zone. I care more about the Hoosiers. Yeah, you're about Kenny Pickett. You know, I'm riding Cam Jones and Peyton Hendershot, the boys who walked so Cignetti can run. Those two guys.
You can follow Sigs Inside, an Indiana football podcast, on Twitter at Sigs Inside Pod. You can follow Brad at Bradley underscore Loomis 8. You can follow me at Alec Keiser. You can check us both out on KeySportsNetwork.com. I just wrote about Bryant Haynes' re-extension. Brad just wrote about how the Dodgers are saving baseball. You can go argue with him on there. What you got, Brad?
I don't got anything.
Oh, you like pointed at me. I thought you were like, I got something
to
add here.
I was just pointing.
Check us both out on KeySportsNetwork.com. Shout out to the boys, Wave, Nick Skrill, Signar. Check out Friends and Collaborators, Instrumental Volume 1 on streaming platforms now. The intro song, 1621. The outro song, The Sweet Sound of Butter Symphony.
Do you think they would take a package for Ant Edwards if it included Dalton Kennect and 4 first-round picks? Honestly, I don't think I would want to.
Oh my God, Brad! We didn't even mention that Indiana Hoosier Jalen Hood-Schifino was a part of this trade.
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah, he got shipped to Utah because they broke him over there. I don't know what happened there. I was so surprised it didn't pan out.
You don't know what happened? Then they took a ball dominant point guard and put him next to LeBron and said spot shoot.
Yeah, they broke him. Yeah, they just broke him.
Yeah. They asked him to do something he wasn't good at. I'm excited to see what he does in Utah if they give him the ball. But if they don't put the ball in his hand and ask him to do the same thing, and it's like, yeah, it makes me sad that he's not playing point guard for the Hoosiers right now. Because, I mean, last year especially he would have helped, and this year obviously he would have helped too. He'd probably back-to-back Big Ten Player of the Year if he stayed in school. But I digress. This is not an Indiana basketball podcast, far from it. Shout out to the Hoosiers. Crazy momentum being built this week. Next week or last week, doesn't even matter. Indiana football's here to stay, and we'll be talking about it.
Go Hoosiers.
Hoosiers.